Will you pray with me? Lord, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, happy new day and happy new year. I know it's not actually the new year, but I mean, this is a university town. It's a new year. Thought it might be a new football year too, but we'll see. And whether or not you're one of the many people who stood a few moments ago as either a student or an educator or both, it's kind of impossible not to feel that newness. We've got that school rhythm in the air and in our bones. Those fresh possibilities and potential that comes with a new, that come with a new start. It's kind of a reset. And who of us doesn't need a reset every now and then? Who of us, at one time or another, hasn't longed to let go of our old habits, longed for past mistakes to cease having a hold on us? Who of us hasn't yearned for a chance to start again, to find renewed energy, renewed passion, renewed commitments, maybe even be a new us? The truth is, we get that kind of chance over and over again. Beginning of the school year, sure. A new season. Or we move, we take on a new job, we retire, we start a new relationship, or we end an old, unhealthy one. The question isn't whether or not we get second chances. We get them throughout life. Repeatedly, we get our new starts. The question really is, what are we going to do with them? This morning's story from the Hebrew Scriptures invites us to consider how best to use a second chance. And it doesn't start with an invitation to think differently, or to do differently, or to be different. It starts in a much more essential place than that. It starts with an invitation to listen differently and to see differently. It's a beautiful invitation from God to the prophet Jeremiah. Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. God invites the prophet to go watch an artist at work in order to get a fresh perspective. I love it. Come away from your work for a while. Come see an artist and his art. Learn something new about who I am. The word of the Lord is certainly found in the sanctuary and in the scriptures, but the prophet will hear something and see something new about God by stepping away from the familiar and getting down to the potter's shed. So Jeremiah goes. He sees the potter working at his wheel. The clay vessel the potter has been making is spoiled in the potter's hand. And he reworks it into another vessel as seems good to him. And then God says, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done? Just like the clay in this potter's hand, so are you in my hand." In other stories in Scripture, we see God as ruler, judge, teacher, gardener, builder, father, mother, lover, friend. But here, we see God at the wheel, an artisan, an artist. And there are echoes here of the creation story in Genesis, where God is stooping down, kneeling in the dust of the earth to shape the clay, to sculpt a person from the soil. Here at the potter's wheel, this same creative work takes on an additional dimension. There is not only making, there is remaking. There is not only shaping, there is reshaping. At the potter's wheel, the clay is always a work in progress because it hasn't been put through the fire yet. It's not finished. As long as it's on the wheel, it's not done yet. That means plans can still be spoiled. The clay can wobble off center. It can fold in on itself. It can break apart. It can even fly apart, pieces of it spinning off the wheel. These things aren't what the potter had in mind. But because the work isn't finished yet, because the clay hasn't been fired yet, it doesn't have to stay ruined. It's still supple, pliable, malleable. The potter can keep working with it, keep pumping the wheel, keep wetting the clay, keep working with hands to shape, to reshape. It's exciting to think about what new thing the clay could still become. I mean, sure, it's frustrating for the potter. We've all had the experience of working on something and having it not go to plan. Sometimes you can fix it. A lot of times you can't. But clay, in the hands of a talented potter, can be reformed as long as it hasn't gone through the fire yet. They just recenter it. And they just keep spinning. Just keep adding the water. Just keep squeezing and pulling and pressing. They might have to listen to the clay, change their original vision and plan, maybe not force it back into the shape they had originally had in mind. The potter might improvise, rework the clay into another vessel as seems good. At the wheel, there is a give and take between the artist and material. Just like the clay in the potter's hand, God says, so are you in my hand. Imagine that. We are on the wheel. We are spinning. We are coming off center. We are folding and failing and falling and flying into all directions. We try to hit the reset button. We try for our fresh start. But we're not the potters. And before we know it, there we are again, spinning and spinning and folding and falling and flying and turning away from center, turning away from God, turning in on ourselves. We can't seem to fix it. We can't seem to fix ourselves. God's word to Jeremiah is for us. Can I not do with you just as the potter has done? We are on the wheel in whatever state we're in, and we are not abandoned to our own spinning. God, the potter, is there working us, reworking us. It is up close. It is intimate work. God the potter is invested in us, invested in our future. We can trust this. We can trust that God's hands are there active, even when the work of being remade doesn't feel good. When we really are letting ourselves be remade, reworked into something more than what we've been, revealed as something new, that can be painful work. It can be messy. It can feel like a forceful pushing or pulling. There's also this element of improvisation. Turns out God's plan isn't a closed system with only one way to get it right. God has made us, created us with purpose and for purpose, gotten in the mess with us, has pressed us and formed us toward our loving purpose. But sometimes things fall apart. Sometimes we fall apart. Life doesn't go the way we planned. We mess up. We turn away. We turn in. But God the Potter is still there, with loving hands, working to make something beautiful and purposeful in partnership with us. For Israel, that meant a choice. God had plans for the house of Israel, but those plans were not simply implemented by God on top of them, apart from Israel's own choices. This is why Jeremiah is prophesying in the first place. God's plans were not fixed. They depended on what the people chose. God had a good plan that could be thwarted by the people's choices to do evil, to center themselves. At the same time, God had plans to judge the unjust oppressor nations, and those harsh plans could also be changed if those nations turned from evil. In other words, if the people repented, God would work a new plan, a good plan, a beautiful future. So God asks Jeremiah to call the people to repentance. Get back on the wheel. Let the potter get to work. That word, repent, it sounds so churchy and severe. I mean, really, do you hear it anywhere else but in this room and in this building? It makes us feel bad, but it's a good word. What it really means is turn. Just turn around. Turn back. Turn towards the God who loves. Turn from the destructive, hurtful thoughts and habits and attitudes and actions that are hurting you, hurting others. Just turn around. Let God recreate you. Unlike a lump of clay, we have a choice. We play a role in partnering with God for our own future. We can choose whether or not to let God keep working on us, keep working in us. We can choose whether or not to let ourselves be remade. And make no mistake, that remaking belongs to God, not us. We don't get to control or design or engineer the process or the outcomes. God does the work. We just show up. We just let ourselves be on that wheel. Let God center us there. Maybe this season, this week, this day, maybe this is your new start. Maybe it's what you've been waiting for, a chance to let go of the past, to do something different than you've been doing, to be something more than you've been before, to be something new. Maybe now is the time to be remade. The remaking belongs to God, but here is the part that belongs to us. We repent, turn away from the things that hurt us and others. We remember that our place is in God's hands, and those hands are there. We reclaim our identity as beautiful, open vessels created for good purposes. And then we receive. We receive what God wants to give, what God wants to do. We yield. We let ourselves be supple, surrendered, centered. The wheel is spinning. The water is flowing. The potter's hands are pushing and prodding and pulling and cradling and scooping and so tenderly creating a future of beauty and goodness and purpose. And you? What are you going to do?